You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, go ahead and yee-haw!
Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here. We have an exciting show for you. And you know what, Alan, you know what? Our shows are always exciting. I don't know why we always say that.
Well, just in case someone's walking, I wonder, is it going to be a mediocre or a boring show today? Yeah. No, never. It's an exciting show.
It actually is, you know, and we should always thank our guests, you know, for taking time out of their weekends and coming on air and telling their stories. Mm-hmm. So today we have Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire, and we're going to talk about interesting things such as shipping and how COVID has affected the rates of bringing product across the pond.
I had a picture of them putting little masks over each tire.
You can't imagine. Yeah. Mark Saltzman, well-known automotive expert and electronics expert, is going to be talking about the new 2023 EV Cadillac called a Lyriq.
You almost forgot the lyrics there, Dave.
Almost forgot the lyrics. It's spelled with a K. Sorry, with a Q. And it's Cadillac's first venue into EV, electric vehicles, and they're going to do their entire line as EV by 2030. Wow. You won't be able to buy a gas-powered Cadillac anymore. You'll be buying electronic. Mm-hmm. So that's scary because how much electricity is around that we can plug into? So we have to talk about infrastructure and different things. Ellen Campbell from Abuse Hurts, she was with us for a long time. They do help people who have been abused. It's not just women that are being abused. Sometimes it's husbands and men that are being abused, and all kinds of other problems. So she's out here collecting cars. She needs cars that she can sell to the auto wreckers and collect money. So we're going to be talking to Ellen at length about Abuse Hurts. And her website, by the way, if you want to get involved, is abusehurts.ca. And big reminder that this is our last week for you to win $250 Crown gift pack. And we have five of those to give away. We've had quite a few entries, but we want yours. So go to davescornergarage.com. You can enter there, or you can do it on your phone, or that's the only way you can do it. I think that's it. But do enter because you have a good chance to win. And it's a great prize.
So there you go. Right? If your grandfather's old Cadillac is sitting, you know, resting on the side of the house, probably into the pavement at this point, it would be a good idea to get rid of it and perhaps move on to a new one.
I don't know. You know, they brought this car out, and it sold out in 19 minutes mm-hmm. across North America. They're not bringing many. The dealership that I deal with, it only got four for the entire year. I was lucky to get one of them. And the reality is it's the beginning of a new phase for the car business. Everything's going to electric. So I don't know. It's going to take 10 years at least for it to start switching over. But the reality is that's the future.
There you go. We've got a charged up show, and we're going to be taking calls and talking to our guests right after this break. Dave, you got anything else to say?
No, other than I love you, nothing else.
All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to be back talking about recycling and how, as far as the car business goes, this isn't something new, you know. We've been doing it for years. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stick around. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, of course, and we're talking about recycling and how, you know, for a lot of people, they think it's something new, but we've been doing it in the industry for years, eh, Dave?
Yeah, well, they considered us a hazardous waste producer, and they don't realize what things the shops go through to make sure that we're environmentally clean. Things like our wastewater, we put it through a separator tank, and it separates the oil, which we suck out and recycle, mm-hmm. and the water goes into the main system. Batteries go back to the supplier. Air conditioning gases are kept. Oil is recycled. It's really changed from when we were first started. We used to take the oil, the waste oil, and sell it to the ships for bunkers, you know, like for bunker foil, and run the ships on it.
Dave, when
that's all changed.
When I went to trade school, there was a guy there, and I, you know, I'm not that old, but there was a guy said as an apprentice, it was his job to take the buckets of oil and just go into the back of the building and dump them on the ground. That's what they used to do.
Yep. The wrecking yards used to just open the crankcase and let it go.
And the other thing that they used to do is the same. So then, obviously, at that point, they realized it wasn't such a good thing. And the oil was actually a commodity. It was useful. So trucks used to pick up our waste oil, and the same truck would have a spraying apparatus on the front of it. And then he would take it out to the country. And on the dirt concession roads, they used to spray the oil to keep the dust and dirt down. Yeah.
That's right. You know, there was once, people don't realize, but I'd say about 40 years ago, the Detroit River caught fire. It was so polluted that the river actually caught on fire, and it sort of jerked everybody into getting cleaner, getting this stuff back. And people also don't realize that cars are 95 to almost 100% recyclable. Everything in that vehicle is recyclable except the foam that they put into the seats.
Okay.
That's about it.
Well, so the steel in the body, the plastic and the they've been using, they can recycle all that. In fact, a lot of the things that we find in the car now are already recycled plastics to begin with.
Yep, that's exactly right. Recycled plastic. And sometimes cars have recycled wood. They'll take old wood and cut it up and put it back into the dash. The other thing was most people that have commercial properties have done this already, but the city has a program called a backflow valve.
Uh-huh.
In other words, the water in your facility cannot go back into the water supply system. There's a valve in there.
Yeah.
All the landlords had to install it, and it has to be inspected every year. And the reality is most commercial businesses, but they started with the garages. We had it done first.
Well, you know, again, and looking back, I mean, as far as remanufacturing goes, you know, certainly I would think perhaps from the 40s, you know, people took starters and generators and water pumps and realized there was an industry there where, you know, the casting or the housing of these parts, there was nothing wrong with. And why not save it, rebuild the inside, save yourself some money, make money at the same time, and keep it out of the scrap heap. So we've been doing it for years.
Now, you know, with the new electronics and the new batteries in these vehicles, there's a business there to rebuild batteries for Tesla, for instance, or to rebuild those electric motors. They don't last forever. Mm-hmm. So it's going to come back. People are going to start to rebuild all this stuff and, you know, go through that. And somebody just wrote in and says, do oil changes, do you recycle old oil?
Do we?
And the answer is, yeah.
Well, we don't recycle it ourselves, but we save that oil, and it gets pumped out, as we were talking earlier. And it goes to what they call re-refiners, where they take that oil and they refine it once again. Of course, they take out all the bad stuff that's in it. They add the packages of the good stuff and add it back in. And you can buy that oil. I remember even Canadian Tire years ago, I think they sold it on the shelf. You could buy it. They were not shy to say that it was recycled oil, and it was quite inexpensive. And again,
it's called New Gold. And New Gold, I think.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But if you had a car that was burning it, in fact, my pal's Kia, we were talking last night, and he said he's using a liter of oil now every second fill up with gasoline. So, you know, if you're looking to save some money there and you don't want to put a new motor in your car, get the recycled stuff. Just make sure it's the right weight and it has the the right package, and then you can use it. So there you go. Save some money.
You know, a conversation with Freeman Young from Crown, and he says to me, how green is it to save your car rather than having to build a new car? You know, the difference in the effect on the economy, different the effect on the environment. It's better off to save your car and get more use out of it than spend the money to buy a new one.
Well, we've always done that.
Yeah,
I mean, I've always driven cars that were 5, 10, 15 years old at least, you know. And if you took care of it, it would keep running. I mean, why get into debt, you know, pay financing and all the rest when all you have to do is a couple oil changes and check the tire pressures and you can keep going forever.
Planned obsolescence.
And of course,
that's what it is.
Right. And if you do your rust protection and take care of the body, the thing is going to last for a long time. So
do you remember, just quickly before we go, in 1929, just before the
crash,
the collapse of the economy, they had problems selling cars. Everybody who wanted one had one. Mm-hmm. So they brought up planned obsolescence. GM started it, Mr. Durant. And we got to go for
All right, speaking of planned obsolescence, we've run out of time here.
Yeah.
We do have to take a break. And after the break, we're going to be talking to Ellen Campbell from Abuse Hurts. Stick around. We'll be right back. Well, today's topic seems to be recycling and, giving back to the environment, trying to save the environment. And, of course, if you've got an old car sitting behind the house that you haven't driven in years and it's time to scrap it, you can put it to good use. We've got Ellen Campbell on the phone from Abuse Hurts. Ellen, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
We're very good. So
I'm
going to pass it on to Dave. Dave, take it away.
Yeah, we had a quick conversation this morning. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning again, Dave.
Okay. Now, I didn't realize that men were abused, and I'd like to talk about that because I might be. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Well, when you think about it, Dave, all the schools, the churches, they were all boys. And what happens to those men when they grow up? They still have all the scars, all the trauma. But the other thing I was mentioning to you was domestic abuse of men. And that sounds funny. You think, how can a man be abused by a wife? But if, and I used you as an example, if your wife was kicking you, spitting, hitting you, or worse, you can't hit her back. If you call the police, she can say you started or you hit her first. Mm-hmm. So you're stuck. You can't leave because the kids and the dog will get the abuse. So they're very stuck. So there's a new center that opened up in Toronto called Canadian Center for Men and Families that provides, they actually have a shelter, the first shelter for men. And it's full with a waiting list.
Fascinating. How many, how many people would be in this shelter?
Oh, I don't know. We provided a lot of furniture and bedding and housewares because, as you know, that's what we do. But I think it's pretty small. I don't think it's very big. It's a house. It's a house.
But, so one of the ways you raise money is by getting donations of vehicles, and you deal with a certain auto wreckers. You've got most of Ontario covered. And people will give you these cars, and you sell them to – you've got three auto wreckers. You've got the
– We have two now. We have Dom's and we have
404.
And
auto recycling?
No.
Ontario Recycling?
No. They've they're doing something else. So we have the two, but we've covered most of Ontario for sure.
Perfect. So if I want to give you my car, how do we go about it?
Just phone 1-855 234-5677.
Or go to the website?
Or go to our website, even better, which is abusehurts.ca.
Interesting. Now, you started out with sheltering women.
Yes. Well, we provide support. Last year, with COVID even, we supported over 8,000 women and children with about 25,000 items. So we provide everything from housewares to clothing to toiletries, and now we have a second warehouse with furniture. So we can provide for men or women everything they need if they're starting over again. Or it could just be clothing and housewares. It doesn't have to be a whole furniture, you know, as well. So we work with a lot of the shelters, but we work with, you know, Salvation Army, In From the Cold. It's not just women's shelters. It's anybody in need, really.
Now, if I wanted to donate furniture, how does that work?
You would just call 727-4357. That's our main number. Or, again, you can just go online. And we always like to see the furniture. Like, we'll ask you to send a picture. And if it's something we can use, we'll either pick it up or you'll drop it off. It depends. And and we also have a little store. So we have a lot of items that aren't suitable for women in shelters, like bigger dining room sets. And then we have a little store, clothing and housewares and everything as well. So that also helps provide the money we need, because we're not a government agency. We don't take any ongoing government funding.
So the store is located where?
It's in Newmarket on 120 Harry Walker Parkway North. And we're open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 4 and Saturdays from 10 to 4. Amazing bargains. I'm telling you, I buy so much stuff from the store, I can't walk through there without buying something.
And we got to run because the music's coming, but just as a quick question, do you get more because of COVID? Did that sort of spike the program?
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely made things a lot more difficult. Women are stuck at home with their abusers, so abuse is up for sure. For sure.
All right, Alan, thanks for joining us, and keep up the good work. Abusehurts.ca if you want to donate your old car. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Thanks, Alan. We'll be back with Darren Bossens from Triangle Tire right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. This is Dave's Corner Garage. My name is Alan Gelman. I'm a working mechanic, but I'm going to hand it over to Dave, our retired mechanic. Dave?
I'm just tired. Doesn't have to be retired, just plain tired.
Speaking of tires.
Speaking of tires. We blew that one. Darren Bossens is with us from Triangle Tire. Darren, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm great. How about you guys?
You know my policy. Any day you wake up is a good day.
Totally. I didn't know you were retired.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I gave him you don't know the story, but one day I had a fight with a customer over an air filter. And I said to my, I phoned my wife and I says, I've never, ever fought with a customer before. And I think I've had it. So she told me to come home. And I did.
And that was it.
That was it. Yeah. And I gave the shop to the mechanics. They were there for like 20 years. And I said, you know what, guys, it's all yours. Take it over. So instead of being the effing boss, I became the effing landlord.
Oh, yeah, which is worse.
Same problems, but not there. Anyhow, we were talking this morning about the problems that you're having with shipping.
Yeah, well, we're not just us. The whole world's having a problem with container shipping right now. It's everything's bunged up. There's not a lot of space available on boats. Containers are hard to come by, all based on supply and demand.
It's interesting because I used to buy containers for the shop in the back for storage, and they were like $2,100, $2,200. Now they're $4,000 and change. Like they've doubled in price.
Yeah, well, we actually bought some a few weeks ago, and they were $10,000.
That's for just for an empty metal box.
Empty used metal box. Yes.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Very hard to come by. But yeah, there's, I think there's 70 ships off LA's coast right now that are all anchored, waiting to get offloaded. And, I don't know, that's the largest backlog they've ever had. All the ports are the same. The ports are charging congestion fees. There's issues getting the stuff off onto the rail and onto trucks as well. There's issues there. So it's just, the whole supply chain is completely bunged up right now.
All right, so all this scary chit-chat is going to tell us that winter tires may be in shortage.
That's true. That's why we thought we'd talk about it a little early this year. If anybody is thinking of getting winter tires this year and need to replace their previous ones, now is the time, sooner than later. Prices have inflated dramatically over the last year. Be prepared for that as well. But like I said, there are going to be shortages this year.
Dave? So are you saying that the prices are going to go up, or are you going to say they're just not available?
Both. Prices have already gone up. And if you bought tires, say, a year or two ago, now you're going to be a little bit of sticker shock because prices have gone up, 20-25% over the last year or so.
Interesting. Now you have to order like 6 months in advance, right?
Yeah, we're typically 3 month lead in time, but right now it's about 5 to 6 months, and then there's constant issues with, like I said, finding rail. We've done a few things early on to mitigate this, so we are going to have tires. We've you know, from what I'm being told from our logistics teams, we should have about 95% of our orders for winters in the building by the time we need them. Not everybody's going to be in that same boat.
So the question I had is, so you're buying tires 6 months in advance. How do you know how much they are, or do they just price them at the time of delivery and you have to accept it?
We have different deals with different factories. Most of them will honor the pricing at which you place the order under. Mm-hmm. Some do, some don't. But right now, the big proponent or the big issue for us as far as overseas production is the transportation, the boating, and the container prices have quadrupled in the last 2 years. So that's the big price raise for our product is that, not so much raw materials or factory increases. It's basically, you know, one third production and the other two thirds is transportation.
Fascinating. So the magic number here is 7 degrees.
Absolutely. Yeah. As soon as it gets to, it's been kind of cold lately, so it's probably not a bad idea to start talking about it. But yeah, as soon as it starts getting in the 7 degree range, that's when you want to switch over to your winters.
Yeah, but you want to be thinking about it when it's still 17 degrees, okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't wait till it's 7 because it'll be too late at that point.
It could be. Like I said, there's potential issues with supply. So, like I said, they're telling people to buy ahead. They're even saying that for other products, not just tires. Like in the U.S. right now, they're saying buy now for Christmas because there may be some empty shelves, and that's just based on the bung at the ports.
Well, I've ordered tires and have them sitting at my distributor. He said, I'm happy to sit on them for now. You know, I don't have to ship them right away. This way we don't have to pay for them. But for Perfect. People that aren't familiar with Triangle, you're not new on the block, right? You've been around for years.
Yeah, many years they've been around. We sold the product for many years, and then we kind of went away from it. We kind of went in a little, they as well as us went in a different direction, and then we came back together a few years ago, and we've been selling it now. It's completely modernized factories, and it's great product.
Yeah,
great
value. I've watched a couple of videos where they have machines where raw rubber goes in at one end, and there's just the one guy taking the tires off at the other side. So it's all automated. You don't have to worry about machines getting COVID or anything like that.
No. Even the material handling is all done by robots. There's very few people in the factory. I think most of the largest department probably in the factory is like kind of inspection, mm-hmm. you know, quality control.
Exactly. Having real eyes on it. Dave?
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is one of the few products out there that has a tire warranty.
Yes. Yeah, 3-point warranty. So, you know, we've got a 30-day trial on the product. We've got road hazards. So if you, you know, get a nail in or destroy a tire, you know, rip the sidewall out in the first 25% of wear, we'll replace it for free. And then obviously workmanship and, you know, the standard warranty as well. So.
Is there any new technology in tires that we should be aware of? You know, like there used to be bias ply tires, then there's radial tires, then there's steel belted tires. And is there new technology that's coming out?
Well, the newest one on the docket right now, essentially, other than getting into some manufacturing technologies that have been brought forward, is the airless tire. So non-pneumatic, if you will.
Well, I was thinking of that because that's how it all started. They were all solid rubber at the beginning. So are we sort of heading back in that direction?
Not so much solid. It's kind of like rubber veins within the tire where the air would be to kind of hold the tire up. So, mm-hmm. you know, you do need some give. You can't have the suspension doing everything, as you know. You don't have to worry about flats, obviously. It's definitely made its way a little heavier into like skid steer or the construction industrial type of application because, as you know, they destroy tires. They're over top of all kinds of different terrains, etc. So to have an airless tire that actually has give to it where, you know, the driver isn't complaining of, you know, kidney damage from an 8-hour shift in one of these things with solid tires. So it'll eventually make its way through the system for sure.
So, in 10 years we could buy these, or 5 years?
Well, no, you're starting to see them now more and more, like not necessarily on mainstream or, but I'm seeing, you know, other manufacturers, a few have gotten into it now. So you're starting to see, I would presume, depending on how things go with electrification of cars, I would say, yeah, probably in the next 5 to 6 years, maybe you'll start to see it more and more. You might start to see it on some maybe higher end cars.
Interesting. So when you're talking about EVs, there's actually a special tire for an EV, low resistance.
Correct. Yeah, low resistance, quiet. You need a much quieter tire. As you know, without engine noise, you're going to hear other stuff now. Tires being the only thing that touches the ground is a big part of that noise. So definitely low decibel tires, low rolling resistance, like you said, so the extends the battery life. They were originally going with the very thin, tall tires, if you recall. We spoke about that a few times. Now they're going basically with more standardized kind of sizing.
So is there a major price difference between an EV tire and a run-of-the-mill tire?
Yeah, they're probably, off the top of my head, I'd say probably 20 to 25% more. And that would be basically, you know, somewhat supply and demand, and there is some new technologies in it. So as you know, when you're kind of at the forefront of technology, you pay a little more for things, but they'll come down in line as, like I said, more electrification. There'll be definitely the price will come in line
as they're more popular. So they're talking about EVs, like right now, they're not paying road tax because they're charging at home, that they want to charge, monies like so much a year, like a license plate increase to cover the road taxes. So it's going to be an interesting adjustment between the technology, even the tire technology, and the tax portions of using the roads. So there's a lot of charges on EVs. It's not going to be a walk in the park like they sort of say that it is.
No, and like you said, the transition will be the kind of the hard part, trying to figure out what we're doing and what's right, what's wrong. Even to the point, like how much we have to charge all these, we're all producing electricity. There's a carbon footprint there. You know, what's the total carbon footprint of the, you know, batteries when they expire, where are they going?
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah. It'll be a live and learn thing as usual.
All right. If you want to learn more, go to triangletire.ca. Some great video. There's some great information about the tire. You can save lots of money. And if you want to save money and buy tires, do it now, especially if you're planning on getting something for the wintertime. Don't wait. Darren, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, gentlemen. You have a good day.
All right.
Thank you, Darren.
Speaking of electric tires, not electric tires, electric cars, Mark Saltzman's going to be with us. He's known as the game guy, Mr. Electronic Guru, and he'll be talking about the 2023 Cadillac Electric SUV right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back. My name is Alan Gelman, and then we've got Dave Redinger with us, and we're going to get to Mark Saltzman in just a minute. But, you know, like, electric vehicles for the last number of years have been small cars, battery-powered, well, like, because the batteries didn't last very long. But now there's a whole new segment where people are saying, I don't want a little car. I want a bigger, luxurious SUV. Mark Saltzman, how are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm great. How are you?
Good. We're great. So Cadillac's come out with a new car. It's not your old Land Barge, eh?
It's not your grandfather's Caddy.
There you go.
So it's not till next year, probably in Canada, not till the summer, early fall. It's the Cadillac Lyriq, L-Y-R-I-Q. Mm-hmm. Which I had a chance to see. But they sold out of their reservations in just over 10 minutes last weekend, a week ago today. So yeah, look, I mean, I think the timing is right for EV. I think GM's CEO, Mary Barra, made a firm commitment, even on stage at the Consumer Electronics Show, to electrify much of their vehicles within the decade. So this is the first Cadillac EV, and it is it's not a big SUV. It's like a small crossover, if you will, but it is a Caddy, and it's pretty sleek inside and out. And, you know, you hinted at the small battery off the top there. So it is getting better. This is powered by what they call their Ultium battery, which can get you about, they say, 480 kilometers max on a full charge. But what I think is really cool is that it supports DC or level 3 fast charging stations. So you're going to be able to get about 120 kilometers of charge in just 10 minutes. So you don't have to sit around and wait much longer anymore, like you used to with the older EVs. And then about 313 kilometers in 30 minutes of charging. So pretty impressive.
Well, exactly. I mean, people plan their trip out. For example, I mean, let's say you're driving from Toronto to Montreal. You don't have to worry about running out. But at the same time, when you're three quarters of the way there, you don't have to get a full charge. You could just get the 15 or 20 minute quickie.
Yeah.
Exactly, the top up. And, you know, go for pee, grab a coffee, and away you go. Then the next thing you know, you've reached your destination. Have you driven electric cars before?
So, yeah, I've test driven lots of different vehicles, including all the Teslas and all that. But I haven't owned one yet. I think this one might push me over the edge, the Lyriq. And I am a Cadillac owner now, actually.
Really?
And I love I have the CT6, which I think they discontinued that model. It's a sedan. Mm-hmm. There's as a techie, as a geek, there's a lot under the hood there. And there's a lot of, a lot of tech in the dashboard. I've got the Bose Panoray system, 30 something speakers, massage chairs, super cruise, where it will, semi-autonomous driving, you know, on supported highways. Uh-huh. And this new vehicle, of course, has all that. So Super Cruise is kind of like it's like Tesla's autopilot, but you don't have to put your hands on the wheel. It'll stay in your lane. It'll gas and decelerate, based on what's going on around you, and it'll keep you in your lane. So if you're cruising down the 407 or 401, whatever, it'll curve along with the road. And if you do want to change lanes, you just have to, signal that you want to change lanes, and then the vehicle will detect when it's safe to do so and change lanes for you. So yeah, I don't know if you've ever tried the Super Cruise. It's pretty wild. I've got a video on YouTube of that. So
question mark. One of the problems they were having, of course, because most of this testing was done in California or down in the South, a lot of the problems were happening when these vehicles were operated on snow-covered roads. Have they figured that one out?
Yeah, so it does need to, and it doesn't work on all roads, so it has to be one of the approved highways, and it knows where it is based on all the different sensors and GPS and all that. So it is relatively safer, would not come out in Canada. And, you know, GM is the kind of company that does err on the side of caution. Even with the issues they had with their Bolt EV, which is a different battery technology altogether, they did a recall, as you may have heard, a couple of weeks ago, and there was only a small handful of, like a very, very, very small percentage of issues with those batteries. And thankfully, no fatalities or anything like that. Where you look at other EV makers, they've had fatalities and they haven't done a recall. So GM's kind of company that I think would not take a chance. So it's worked in Canada for me. I didn't test it. Whenever I've tested EVs the Super Cruise, it was not in the winter, but it does work. Yeah, it does work on wintry roads. By the way, I said you don't have to have your hands on the wheel like you do with other semi-autonomous technologies, but there is a camera on you. And if it detects that you're not looking at the road, like if you're starting to play with your phone or you open up a book, it will alert you that you can't be doing that. And it'll kick you off the Super Cruise. It gives you some time, but
What? We've got Dave sitting by quickly, and he's probably thinking, Super Cruise, I think I'll have the soup.
but that I'm done.
But I'm bummed. But you can't
Waiter,
drink your soup.
My soup. What's he doing? The backstroke. Yeah.
Welcome to Dad Joke Central.
I know, right?
So, Dave, so you can't eat and have the Super Cruise on.
No, because it's watching you. But two out of three of the EVs being sold right now are Teslas.
Yeah.
And they are, way ahead of everybody else in the game.
They are.
So for GM to commit doing all electric Cadillacs is a major move. Yeah. Look, so they must see the market.
They definitely do. I think all automakers do. And there's been some pretty bold commitments to EVs from all the makers, whether they be American, European, or Asian. Everybody's doing it. And I think it's just a matter of time. It makes sense. The range is there. There's no more range anxiety. And Tesla, they make amazing vehicles. And I think they've forced these more traditional 100-year-old car makers to up their game. So it's a win for the consumer, right? And they're not all the same. Like a Nissan Leaf is going to be like half the cost of the Lyriq, which is, I think it's 68K to start.
No, I bought one and it's 80.
No, the Lyriq, not the test. The Lyriq?
E-Lyriq.
Oh, if you have, I don't know, you got some extra stuff in there.
What happens was
it includes freight, but
freight PDI knocks it over. But the
you bought one.
The dealer only had four, and I got number four.
Yeah. So look, it's comparable to a higher end Tesla or even less, because that's like 120 for the, but you can get a Nissan Leaf for like 35, 40, right? So it's not going to have the range or any of the other, you know, it's a Cadillac. So it's also a very luxurious drive, I would expect. When I saw it, by the way, last week, I saw it at the Cadillac Live showroom, which you probably know is a virtual showroom. It's funny because it came out before COVID, but it makes sense now that you would be able to see, like, through your phone or your computer, you can have someone walk around the vehicle and you could say, like, hey, can you look, show me what the legroom is like, or can you pop the trunk? I want to see what it looks like in there. But it's in Toronto for all of North America. And I got a chance to see the Lyriq, but I didn't test drive it. But if my Cadillac is any indication, it's a smooth, you know, it's going to be a nice luxurious ride that you may not get with other EVs. It has a 33-inch diagonal LED, so it's like one like sheet of glass behind the steering wheel. Pretty sweet. That's great that you bought one. Nice.
Yeah, we bought one. I usually buy whatever comes up brand new, and then I put it back out on the market. But the reality is, I was lucky to get it. I mean, he's telling me
you can't order them till next summer now, apparently.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, guys, we got a boogie. Exactly. Mark, if people want to find out more stuff about you and your videos, where do they find them?
Sure. So it's Mark Saltzman, Mark with a C. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. So just search for my name. And
worldwide.
I have an article today in USA Today about EVs, what to look for when you're shopping for your first EV.
All righty. So there you go. And if you see a Cadillac going down Dufferin Street, wave. It could be Mark behind the wheel.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back to wrap this up right after this break. This is, again, Dave's Corner Garage. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We got to wrap it up, but quickly, we've got a great contest. It's just about over. It's you're going to find all the information on davescornergarage.com, which is our website, and it's for Crown. You get a free application, you get some product. It's worth about $250, so there's five of those prizes available, and get your in today. Dave?
Okay, we got a recall to talk about and a couple of emails if you want to do that.
Okay.
So the recall is from Hyundai, and it's recalling 130,000 vehicles because the motors blow up. The connecting rod bearings in those engines may wear prematurely, which over time can result in engine damage and eventually stall the vehicle during operation. They've had 45 fires already. Mm-hmm. So if you have a Tucson Sonata, I would be suggesting you stop in your local dealership and make sure you're not part of this recall.
Yeah, I've sent a few people in. So if you've got a car that's, you know, you start it up in the morning and it sounds like the chain's falling off your bicycle, exactly, give them a call. Or if you've got a situation where it's leaking on the ground, or you just find that the engine's all of a sudden consuming tons of oil, give Hyundai a call and they're going to help you out, hopefully.
There you go. Somebody's calling my wife. The other question was, I recently read in our internet that adding acetone to an engine's gasoline tank will give me better mileage. Have you ever heard of this?
I have heard of it, but and the research that I did was that it really doesn't do a whole lot. You know, I mean, whenever fuel prices go up, there's always a million different inventions and different suggestions, people trying to sell magic that's going to give you better gas mileage, so it'll save you money. But 99% of the time, these things don't work. The only person that makes money is the guy selling them. I mean, I've done it myself where I had someone I knew came in and he gave me a Canada's magic stuff and he said, add it to your gas tank. And I did it. I said, you know what? I hope it works. So I purposely marked down the mileage of my car and then I ran at least three or four fill-ups with this additive in there. And in fact, if anything, Dave, my mileage went down.
Went down.
Yeah.
And the other thing, you're adding a chemical to a product that's not used to having this chemical. Like they got plastic gas tanks, they got plastic valves. Some of the lines are made of material that will react with acetone. So my answer to this is stay away.
Yeah.
Do your nails and throw the rest out.
Well, listen, you know, manufacturers are constantly bothered by the government to improve their fuel economy, you know, to have a good CAFE rating, which is the combined average fuel economy. So you have hundreds of engineers, okay, trying to figure out how to get the best mileage for cars. So, somebody mixing this up in their backyard and bottling it,
definitely
trying to sell
work.
To you, it's not going to work, no.
Another question that came in was, your car is on cruise control, and you come up as a slower vehicle, and what happens with the modern radar control, cruise controls, they step on the brakes, actually. And his question is, do the brake lights come on?
I would think they have to. Otherwise, yeah, you'd have a big accident behind you. But I've got one of those cars, and it's great. The problem I see is that, you know, if you have one of those and then you get into an old style car expecting that it's going to slow down, and it doesn't because it's just a passive or sleepy kind of unit. So it's important to know what your car has. Don't just make assumptions.
And in reality, I would think the brake lights should come on, but I can't follow myself, so I won't know.
There you go. You'll have to do a experiment with your wife.
There you go. Honey, hang out the back window.
Well, she has to get off the phone. Right now, she's busy talking to her girlfriend, though.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, been a great show. We should thank everybody.
Abusehurts.ca. If you've got an old car you want to get rid of, and it's going to a great person there. And TriangleTire.ca, of course. Dave?
And Mark Saltzman, he's on YouTube, and he's got some great articles going. Nice to have these people on the show, and nice for them to actually take time out and join us this Saturday morning.
Exactly. And before we run out of lyrics, we got to thank Carlos behind the board, doing a great job as usual. Ladies and
Carlos
gentlemen.
Carlos for president.
There you
I
go.
I always say Carlos for president.
Drive safe, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.